Hello, it's Dave O'Neill here, and welcome to The Debrief. Well, The Debrief's actually not on this episode because I'm in London, so having a little bit of a break, but I will return very soon to Australia with a few new episodes of The Debrief, all the way here from London. Just did some excellent episodes over here. But hey, while you're here, why don't you listen to my other podcast, Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins? That is still continuing while I'm overseas. Anyway, I've got to go back to the backpackers now, so I've got to drive some people to the airport in the minibus. Yeah. It's a tough, tough life.
Please stand clear of the closing doors.
You know what annoys me? Because I did something the other day. This is big. This is really big.
Right.
With my coffee. You don't drink coffee?
No.
I've gone from
soy? You have soy, don't you?
I went from milk to soy. Ooh. Thinking I'm doing the right thing, not having too much milk.
Mm-hmm.
And now I hear soy's bad for you.
Soy bad for you?
Oh, don't ask me why. I don't know. It tastes great. And I thought, it's a nut.
Yeah.
Soy's a nut. And apparently it gives you, I can't remember what it was. But it's just
cancer. Annoying.
But it's like you said the other day, what's killing you?
Well, I see everything's killing you.
Seriously,
you think of anything you like or anything that you do to your body, like say brushing your teeth, fluoride. Fluoride. This guy told me fluoride's killing you one time. Fluoride's bad. But it's only when I had a water filter put in, this old guy, and he was wearing a uniform. Have I told you this story? And he goes, what's your opinion on fluoride? I don't know. It's meant to be pretty good. No, I don't think so. It's killing you. What? Fluoride's killing you? I've been drinking that stuff for years. Sunscreen?
Yeah, that's what I heard the other day.
Killing you?
It's killing you.
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, not only did you not get vitamin D, apparently the chemical in it is killing you.
Blueberry flavouring? No good for you, apparently.
Blueberry flavour.
I think blueberry and raspberry.
But what about the things that were good for you that now are not good for you? Like
margarine.
Margarine. As I've said before, you put margarine, leave it out the back, ants go, not eating that.
Yeah.
Put butter out there, ants go, yeah, have a bit of that.
Yeah, but butter's come and gone, hasn't it? And now it's back again.
Yeah, eggs.
Eggs were
the worst, and now they're
good. They're the best.
Yeah. Red wine.
When I saw that doctor about my sleeping thing, he's like, you eat as many eggs as you want.
Yeah.
Eggs and a bit of bacon. Bacon.
Bacon's all right.
They went through that thing. Remember they put that thing out saying bacon's causes you cancer and salami causes, they're all saying salami and bacon are bad.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, but also, but that's, conspiracy. No, that wasn't a conspiracy. There was a doctor saying this. But that you got to eat it every day though. So if you have it once a week, it's fine.
Really?
Yeah.
And all fat.
Fat's bad for you. Sugar's bad.
I reckon I don't get in it because I don't eat
gluten's
much meat.
Bad.
I don't much eat red meat. I reckon I get tired.
Yeah.
Since I have a bit of red meat, I feel good. But I'm told that I shouldn't eat too much red meat. But I have some. I feel good again.
Red meat's bad for bowel cancer. That's right.
Oh, yeah. You know why? We've said this before. Because it gets, how long does it take to digest it? And what happens
ages.
If you leave meat out of the fridge for that amount of time? So you leave meat out of the fridge for, what, 12 hours, 24 hours?
Mm.
Imagine how it looks in your gut. Oh, we shouldn't be talking about this because we're going to have hamburgers after this. And yeah.
Well, maybe we'll mix it up a bit. We don't have to have hamburgers.
What, you're saying we have something
healthy?
You can
go to a vegetarian restaurant.
I'm happy to go to a vegetarian
restaurant. A vegetarian restaurant?
Is there one close by?
Would you like a mung bean burger?
See, I have my gut reacts to...
I quite like vegetarian food. When I first met my partner, she was vegetarian. Soon sorted that out.
When you started slipping meat into the... What I don't like about vegetarian food is it impersonates bad non-vegetarian food.
You go to a good vegetarian restaurant, it's beautiful. Often when I get a dish... I often like the vegetables more than the meat, though, sometimes these days.
Yeah. But they'll go, you're going to have a veggie burger. Why are you stealing
a meat-eating idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just applying it to that. So you're passing off. That is passing off in a legal term. Yeah. So don't do that. Don't do that. If it's worth eating, it's worth eating for what it is.
Or like faking, fake bacon. I'm not into that.
Apparently now they're bringing out a meat – that is not made of meat.
Oh, yeah, that's built in a lab.
Yeah, and it tastes like meat, looks like meat.
Oh.
It's like carob chocolate.
Oh.
So it's not real chocolate, looks like chocolate.
I know.
That's what friends of mine used to say what bad comedy was. They'd go, that's carob comedy. What do you mean? You go,
it's true.
It looks like funny.
Yeah, but it's not
smells
funny.
Like funny.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, you never seen the look on a child's face as they eat into a carob frog. Thinking it's a chocolate frog is great. Like, what?
It's really, really
ripped smart. Off.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just reckon a little bit of everything, not too much of anything.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to get that
should be the name of your book. Oh, what is it again?
A little bit of everything, not too much of anything.
Oh, that's it. That's on the poster.
I had an idea for a book the other day. What was it? It had a really good title.
The Bible?
No. Yes. The Bible, I reckon, I'm going to do a, you know, how to survive in the comedy world.
How to survive in the comedy world.
You'd write a good book like that. You often drop gems.
Yeah. I'm less
what's
successful,
the best advice? Okay, what's the best advice? Okay, here's a book.
What did Tim Smith say to me? Always take your wallet on stage. I reckon that's pretty good.
Here, that's a book, though.
Yeah, what?
As in the thing that changed. Or like you speak to every comedian.
Oh, best advice.
What's the best advice you've ever got? Now, has that ever been written?
No.
What's the best advice you ever got?
Yeah, that's a really good idea. Are you asking me now? I don't know.
You have to have a think about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a hard one, isn't it?
Don't wear that
shirt. When I started writing, what?
Don't wear that shirt.
Don't wear that shirt.
with that jumper.
In terms of comedy writing, someone once said to me, get used to rejection and never throw anything out.
I think, yeah, with writing, I stuck with write what you know.
Write what you know.
Yeah.
But then again, the woman who wrote the Shipping News, Annie Perks, great book. You've read The Shipping News? Anyway, won a lot of awards.
Yeah, you read it, obviously.
Yeah, don't write what you know, write what you research. That's what her famous quote
was. That's two ways. Because I think one is written from the ego and one is written from the subconscious. One is where the nuance of the small is more in that, where the reader recognises something, some foible within themselves, than there is in giving facts. Facts are like, facts on top of an observation. Yeah, good. Now listen to me, would you? But I think I reckon it's the small ideas that open up the stronger values.
Are you getting more and more like the Dalai Lama?
Yeah. But, you know, you need to have your purpose. As long as you've got a good purpose.
Good purpose.
Good purpose, got good values. Oh God, this was just changed this podcast into a self-help thing.
New age, it's very new age.
We should wear robes.
Yeah. Sandals.
You'd be Swanahala Dave.
Yeah, you Swanahala Glenn.
And I would be Son of Robin.
We could start a cult. Leave our partners and just sort of live up in the mountains. Somewhere warm, though. I don't want to get cold. You don't want to get cold, do you?
What were saying last week?
You got to be by the beach.
Well, in polygamy last week, a cult, there's got to be some upside to a cult.
Oh, yeah, I think so. For the leader, there's upsides, definitely. Oh,
yeah. But, you know, what's the upside? Well, it's a bit like Ski Lodge.
The Ski Lodge.
Because you all turn up, you bring a bit of food, and you all share your food.
Yeah.
And you all go do stuff during the day together, and you come back the night and talk about it.
Yeah, and then stuff happens.
Oh, is that where that's the didn't you know about that? Yeah, that's you're in room 27. What do you mean room 27?
Why are all the women in your room and the men are all together? Well, that's just how the cult works.
I thought we were just here to do a bit of skiing and have fun in the snow. No. Anyway.
Oh, here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
All right, welcome to the podcast. Pretty straightforward.
Two subjects. And how are they related? And there is a line. Is it a linear line? What's the line?
Yeah, there's a line.
Line between the two that is a story that makes you realise why those things are related.
Yes.
And we have it crack. And we do pretty well. I'd say what would our ratio be about? What percentage?
40% probably.
But we usually in
40
the,
or 50.
If we were policemen, we would solve the crime. We'd have to go a bit further with our questioning.
We'd have a few suspects.
We'd be onto the suspects, and we go. I'm not on the whiteboard. We'd have all the photographs of the right people, I reckon.
Yeah.
So now we sit back, and Sam is a terrific, presenter helper, who not only presents the smorgasbord for us tonight. She helps us along the way and tells us how to.
She'd come to our cult. She'd be part of that.
She'd be great.
Yeah, she'd be part of that.
She'd be great.
She'd be the one that they always have someone who deals out the discipline and the punishment. That could be her.
What I like about Sam on this show, I like it when she speaks when she hasn't been spoken to.
Oh, yeah.
Because normally she only speaks when she's been spoken to.
True. Someone just butts in.
I like it when she chimes in.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm here, okay.
Good on you, Sam. Hello,
thanks,
Sam.
Okay, so the topics are...
The Alamo and chewing gum.
Ah, the Alamo.
Have we spoken of the Alamo before?
There's no basement in the Alamo. Yeah, we've talked about it before.
Which is, Alamo is a place, is a building?
It's a garrison.
Oh, what's a garrison?
It's like a fort.
A fort?
Yeah,
is it a Mexican fort?
Texas. Texas was originally part of Mexico.
And then, was there a mini civil war there? Or some sort of, no, it was a war. Which was what war?
It was a Mexican-American war.
Where the Americans...
I think what happened was that Texas was part of Mexico, and there were a lot of American settlers in Texas, and they wanted to be part of America.
Yeah, yeah.
So they arced up at the Mexicans.
And that was slavery? No.
No, it was before slavery, I reckon. And the Mexicans went, ay, caramba.
So they're just going, but why do they want to be part of America?
Because they're Americans.
So they moved to Mexico. They went, we're going to go, look, that looks nice over there.
Yeah, they all settled there. I think it was in that sort of grey period, you know.
So there's no real divide there. It's just a line on the sand between the US and
Mexico.
Have you been to Mexico?
Yes.
Have you?
Yeah, I have been to Mexico City.
Would you go there now? Yeah, I don't know whether you'd go there now, would you? Fantastic.
Yeah.
You'd go back?
Yeah, I loved Mexico. I loved it. Because everyone's going, oh, it's so dangerous. I didn't feel unsafe at all in Mexico City. It was amazing. The people were nice.
My brother was just there, and the people they were with, they got robbed going back to the airport at gunpoint.
Oh, how?
Well, they just pulled over and pulled the guns on them and stole everything and said, yeah, go away.
Wow, that didn't happen to me. Were they in Mexico City or?
I don't know where they were, but they were in that region.
Oh, that'd be scary.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I went years ago before I had kids, so it would have been 15, 20 years ago.
Did you wear a big hat?
I had some tacos. What was disappointing was there were no nachos.
And we've talked about that.
We've talked about nachos before, yeah.
Nachos.
But no, Mexico was brilliant. I loved it. I was only there for 5 days. I only went to Mexico City, but, you know, I went to the pyramids, the Aztec pyramids. Brilliant. And, yeah, just, I don't know. The people were very. We stayed in this great place called Casa Gonzalez, where the guy would you'd have breakfast, and the breakfast was really nice because, of course, they had a
menu. We stayed in a hotel?
No, it was like a boarding house hotel. So you got your own bedroom and bathroom.
Cool. But
someone told me about this joint.
Like Airbnb sort of thing. Bed and breakfast. Yep. Real bed and breakfast.
Yeah, so you go down to a dining room and you sit around with other tourists.
Yep.
And this old guy stand up, the Mexican guy, and he goes, hello, my name is Casa Gonzalez. This is my son, Pedro. And Pedro was always like, hurry up and die, old man. He'd be sitting there looking angry. And he goes, today we have David. He is a... actor from Australia. I'm not an actor, mate. I'm a comedian. He would say, this is his partner. She's an illustrator. We also have from Canada, and he'd introduce everyone.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then it was really good. And then he made it really good. And then he would organize any tours or anything you wanted to go on to. And then you would have breakfast, and you can have eggs cooked any way you wanted. Ooh, it was beautiful.
Spanish omelette.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he had Mexican eggs. Oh, beautiful. Anyway, it was a great place, Mexico. Once they find out you're Australian, they love you.
So really?
I don't think they're that fond of the Americans, but once they find out you're Australian.
So they lighten up. So the Alamo, that, as we've said on this podcast, was the world of Davy Crockett.
Davy Crockett was killed at the Alamo.
Did they know what happened to Davy Crockett? I thought they didn't know.
No, they didn't really know, but they found his body there, didn't they? He was part of the siege. Yeah. Maybe,
you know how you find out? You sing the song.
Oh, yeah, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
And the died, and he didn't know what he died from, but his body was found there. Davy Crockett. So that's basically the Alamo.
The Alamo. Well, the Alamo, though, and I remember, so the Alamo was like the Mexicans defeated the Americans at the Alamo. And it was like a slaughter. They killed them all.
And am I right in saying there were Mexicans and Americans on both sides.
Yes.
So it was Americans and Mexicans fighting Americans and Mexicans. Is that right?
I think.
You think it was mainly American fighting Mexicans?
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit of a blend.
There could be a blend. And then what happened was that started a war. That started more of a war with America. And the Americans would yell out, remember the Alamo, as they go into war. And so they won that war. And that's how Texas became part of America.
And the Alamo... is a, what did you call it?
It's a garrison.
Garrison, and it's in Mexico.
It's in Texas.
In Texas. Mm. And it's, have you been there?
No, I'd love to go
there.
So
that was the fallback mark, where they all,
Yeah, it was like a mini castle or a fort. Yeah. They all went in there.
I've seen photographs. It's not very big.
It's not very big, no. It's probably a souvenir shop now. You go on tours of it. I know that much.
Didn't they do tea and scones? What were they doing?
Oh, yeah. Nachos. Tex-Mex burger. Bit of a slider. Yeah,
they would have to do a bit of both, wouldn't they? But surely they do.
Have a Corona?
Yeah. Would it be a tray where you slide along with a tray and you pick behind the glass, do you reckon?
I reckon it would be.
Or would it be a sit down with tablecloths?
No, it'd be a tray. It'd be more tray. A canteen style.
And then
maybe a diner style, maybe American diner style.
You go through to the souvenir shop. And what would they have in the souvenir shop? T-shirts?
Oh, like, yeah, T-shirts. Alamo, little Alamo. Alamo in a snow dome. Alamo. Because when you think of the Alamo, you think of that distinctive building, don't you?
Yes.
That kind of that orangey building. Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd love to go and have a look at the Alamo.
It'd be a long way to go, though, wouldn't it, really, for some? Would it be? I don't hear people going, I went to the US, I went to the Alamo. I don't hear people saying that.
No, they go to the Grand Canyon, they go to Disneyland, they go to New York, they go to New Orleans.
You've been to the Grand Canyon? I flew the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
I went below the line.
Wow. Was that good?
Well, that's when you could I don't know if you can go below the line now.
So you went into the canyon?
Yeah, the plane goes down, and you like all the pointy bits in the middle of the Grand Canyon are going past the windows.
Oh, God.
So, you know, and the pilot's turning around and you're going, hey, keep your eyes to the front. Thanks, buddy. Well, that was fantastic. You can't do that now.
No, fair enough.
Near Vegas it was.
Wow. I haven't been to Vegas. What's that like?
Vegas is like, you know, on adrenaline for 2 nights. I ran out of money. That's one place I ran out of money and went touring around the States. And I remember sitting at a bar about 6 in the morning because I'd been up all night and all I had left was enough. It's like I've seen from a movie.
It's a very Vegas story, isn't it?
Yeah, starring Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Just leaning at a bar, and the only thing I could afford was a burger, and I was sitting next to a cowboy.
Wow.
And we both had a burger, and we looked at each other and went, it's all right, life's all right.
Yeah. Well, you're done.
Like I'm Straw done. Dogs. Not Straw Dogs. What's the one with, I'm walking here, Midnight Cowboy.
Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah, I'd be the little one, not...
Yeah, not the other one.
Yeah.
The Alamo.
Anyway, the Alamo. So I'm off.
Remember track. The Alamo. There was a movie with John Wayne in it, wasn't there? The Alamo. Okay, so chewing gum. I love a bit of chewing gum.
Do you know what chewing gum is?
No, I remember. I don't know what it is.
I think it's from a tree.
Oh, yeah, from a tree, yeah. Rubber. Yeah. Rubber from a tree. I assume these days it's just made of chemicals.
So it's not made from a tree, what we have now. Like,
I don't know.
What's the chewing gum? Juicy fruit?
Great,
chewing gum.
Great chewing gum.
Wrigley's?
Juicy fruit. So I've told you before the four flavours of juicy fruit, haven't I? I looked this up once. What are the four flavours in juicy fruit?
Lemon?
Yep.
Orange.
Orange.
Not apple. No. Must be something berry-like. Blueberry? No.
No.
Okay, I'll give
it. Banana and pineapple, I think.
Banana chewing gum?
I think, but there's banana in juicy fruit.
Oh, you're saying...
These are the four flavours.
They're not called banana.
These are just the four flavours that make up the juicy
so
fruit
So when you
flavor.
Taste it, you're tasting all those
Lemon,
flavours.
Lemon, orange, banana and pineapple, I think it is.
Banana
yeah.
and pineapple. Mm. To me, it's just like a... And I've told you why we like chewing gum, haven't I?
It's a stimulation of the brain, isn't it? The moving of the...
Because the movement of the tongue goes back to right when you were a child, when you were...
breastfeeding.
When you were breastfeeding. So you were pointing your tongue and rolling your tongue around waiting for the breast. So when you... It's a signal, subconscious signal to the brain to focus because that's why when people are doing something quite difficult, they pack their tongue out. They go... It means they're concentrating. Because the tongue is pointed, ready for the nipple. Okay, that's the class for today. Thanks, Mr. Robbins. Okay, remember, do your homework now. Sir, do we have to have our assignments in by tomorrow?
Put that chewing gum away.
Don't you hate a chewing gum under a desk?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Or under a seat. When you're at the theatre or something, and your hands are wandering around and you go, what's that?
That's my kids the other day, there's chewing gum under the chair in a restaurant. Well, don't put your hand there.
And it goes rock hard.
Oh, yeah.
Can you eat it?
You can swallow it, but it's
you
not
can
good for
swallow
you.
It. Surely it can't be. It would go like a rock down there.
Yeah, yeah. It would come out the other
Does
end.
Does it kill a dog?
Oh, it's not good for dogs, is it?
No.
Oh.
I know chocolate kills dogs.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Which
you know what else is bad for dogs? Those little soy sauce fish.
Because they eat them.
They choke them, yeah, they choke on them. Yeah. Heard a vet saying that the other day. Chewing gum, I love chewing gum. My favourite flavour, I've got some in my car.
Do you have it just for fresh breath?
Sometimes.
Is that the only reason you have it?
No, I eat it. I love it.
You love it because you're getting your mouth ready for breastfeeding.
It's been pointed out that I'm a constant grazer. When I did radio with Gretel Colleen, she pointed out to me that I was always eating something. And
so you're very very orifice related.
Yeah, yeah. And so now I like chewing gum. So when I go on a plane, I eat it, chewing gum.
Do you eat it while you're reading?
No.
I
eat it in the car a lot. The car or a plane or when I'm driving or on a train or whatever.
I've never.
I associate it with transport, I think.
Because I don't like it. Because if there's a bit of a slapping noise going on with someone, you go, mate, close your mouth. I have a friend who does that.
Yeah.
And he goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And do
yeah.
we? Do you say something?
You should. You could keep it down over there with your chewing gum, buddy chewing.
I just feel bad because obviously they're enjoying it.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to kill their fun, but you're going, can you step away?
Chewing gum's, I mean, these days, extra is the popular one. So spearmint, peppermint, but they have a great lemon lime flavour.
See, I'm more likely to go fresh breath mint, but then I realised I was having so much sugar that it gave me the biggest filling. Because I used to split the mint and just slide it down next to a tooth, and it destroyed the tooth.
You need another mint fiend, Sam Pang.
He likes a mint.
And I noticed the other day when we were doing a gig together, he was on the mints.
But how do you? Here's the thing: you don't know if you've got bad breath, but everyone else knows. Is there anything worse than talking to someone with bad breath?
That's terrible.
We had a film director. He would come and give you direction. You didn't listen to the direction because you're going. That is the most repulsive smell
it's bad. You
go, so if you got that, you go, yep, and you just want to walk away. You didn't get the direction.
No worries. Anyway, how is Scorsese? I love chewing gum. I remember when we were growing up, the great, there was, I reckon in the 80s, Hubba Bubba came in. Remember Hubba Bubba?
That was blowing bubbles, wasn't it?
Yeah, Bubble Yum.
And that was a big square, wasn't it?
And there were competitors. There was Hubba Bubba and Bubble Yum, and then there was Squirt, which had a liquid gum inside the shell of the gum, and you would bite it. It would squirt into your mouth.
No surprise.
And then also Big Charlie's when we were kids. Remember Big Charlie's? Yeah, stick.
Yeah.
And there was fruit flavoured and there was musk, I think. Yeah.
What were those things that was a big, it was a musk. Glass bowl and you'd put the like 20 cents in and you'd turn the thing and something would fall out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were toys, but they were also bubble gum as well.
And they
didn't last. That flavour went about 2 seconds after you put it in your mouth.
Because you got to have the flavour go right through. Could you blow bubbles?
Oh, yeah. I was trying to teach one of my kids how to do it the other day. Yeah, because I can't do it. But yeah, oh, yeah.
How do you do it?
You've got to flatten the gum out on the top of your mouth.
Yes.
On the roof of your mouth and move it to the opening of your mouth.
Mm.
Put your tongue to make a bit of an indentation and then blow into it. Yes, gently.
Just start off and feel it.
Feel and then blow into it, making a seal around your mouth with the gum and keep blowing.
Biggest one you ever blew, big as your head?
No, I don't think so.
How did you get? You get to about 3 or 4 inches and then go crack. Bang. Could you do it inside? Because some guys used to do it inside their mouth, make a crack noise.
No, I couldn't do that. That's interesting. Clever.
Yeah, because I could whistle. But it's very hard to teach someone how to whistle. Do you know how to whistle? I won't do it in here because it'll kill audio. No, loud whistle.
Like, yeah, go on, do it, do it, do it. Go on, do it.
I'll do it off mic. Okay, I'll do it off mic. Okay, here we
go. Oh, that's pretty impressive. Oh, my God, you're like a farmer.
So I can call sheep.
That's very hard to teach someone to do that, though.
It is hard.
Yeah.
And you've got to point your tongue, grab back, put your lips over the top of your teeth, and make a hole between your fingers and the teeth, and it whistles over the back. And it is, for calling cabs, it's really good.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, except invariably, like I did then, I'm not in the right position and I spit everywhere.
Oh.
But I'm, because I've got to put my fingers in my mouth, whereas I like the guys who just go, put their mouth in a certain position and go.
Yeah, farmers do it very well.
Yeah, boy.
Chewing gum. No, I love chewing gum.
Bad when you had braces, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It gets stuck on there.
Because I find, even now, see, like, it's not that it's chewing gum. So, like, often, people go, you would like a snake or a...
Yeah, frog or something like that.
And that stuff just gets caught in your teeth. I'm picking my teeth for the next half hour.
Yeah, it's not good for you. Not good for you.
Hey, here's something.
Yeah.
Chewing gum in your hair.
Oh, terrible.
How do you get it out? Get your pens out. I've got the answer.
Don't know. Hairdryer?
No. I think there's a few. I think there's ice.
I
think there's peanut butter.
Peanut butter?
Toothpaste.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, you know that.
So you've got, I mean, how do you get chewing gum in your hair? I suppose like on a pillow or
being
something.
Stupid.
Because once it goes in there, you've got, and of course the easiest way is to cut it out.
Yeah, chewing gum.
But if it's spread right through.
I think chewing gum is one of those things is when you're eating it, it's enjoyable. Apart from that, it's not enjoyable for anyone else.
And what do you do? Do you save the wrapper and then wrap it up and then throw it away?
Or, I tend to.
Okay, so let's just say you are somewhere where there's no rubbish bin. What do you do?
I try and put. I get a bit of paper because this is a problem. Yeah, I get a bit of paper, and I wrap it up and I put it in my pocket. And then later on,
do you forget?
Yeah, and then it jams the washing machine. I've got to unblock the washing machine, which is a whole rigmarole.
That is a big rigmarole. Because if you've got, you know, because my brother fixes white goods, he just tells me the stuff that he finds in there.
Chewing gum?
Oh, you find all sorts of things that people left in their pockets. Paper clips, especially money chewing gum,
buttons.
So you've got to be very careful.
There is great joy, though, when I have to unblock the pipe, right? And it's quite a process.
Oh, yeah.
I got to take the S bend off the sink,
yep.
And I always pull it out and I go, all right, here we go.
You're a hero.
I'm so happy when it's something that's not mine.
Yeah, that's right.
The other day it was a ring pull of a can, and I'd be the only one that it would have.
What about sometimes that happens in the shower and you pull, it's got hair all around it?
Oh yeah.
I remember at our beach house, we used to have a lot of people come down, which meant the sewer used to block up every year. And Dad would go. We'd all go down the beach, and Dad would go out the backyard for the day to dig it up.
Oh, jeez.
And then he'd come in at about 4 o'clock, covered in shit, going, found it. Yep. She went off like a beauty.
Oh. I think dads enjoy that kind of thing, though.
Well, but it's the same thing. You're popping a pimple. You're slicing the boil. You're releasing the pressure.
So well, what blocked the pipe the other day was a plastic thing off the off a shaver. So it must have been me.
So this is in the dishwasher. No, this is in the washing machine. Sorry. Right.
Yeah. Dishwashers are another thing that get blocked. Oh. You know what blocks a lot of dishwashers, the guys tell me? Olive pips and orange pips.
Oh, yeah. Do you rinse before you put in them? Which is such a waste of water.
Stupid, isn't it?
Because you can go throw all that water out again.
I know.
It's so indulgent.
I know, but it doesn't wash that well.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, are you coming to a conclusion? The Alamo and chewing gum.
Alamo and chewing gum. I'll have to have a think. I'm going to have a think.
Okay.
Now, if you've got any ideas for thinking music, this is interesting.
Chewing gum.
You could have the theme from the movie The Alamo. You could have that. You could have an old Wrigley's. Because didn't Liz Smiley do an ad for Wrigley's?
Oh, yes, for Extra. People used to make jokes about it. Extra. Yeah, Extra. Yeah, we should try it. Because she's got a lisp, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to come across as mocking Liz Smiley.
Oh, okay. Well, then we won't
But
do
then
that,
again,
then.
You know, but
what about just a chewing gum ad? Play us a chewing gum ad. There must be a Bubble Yum or a Hubba Bubba ad from the 80s.
I'm just wondering, like, a grand theme. Was there a theme?
Yeah, a cowboy theme to the Alamo.
Was there the Alamo? That would be grand.
Okay, well, let's hear that. Let's hear some music from the Alamo movie.
Now the green leaves of summer are calling
me. Oh, that's good. Well, when you hear music like that, do you picture anything? I pictured you and I on a horse riding off in the sunset.
Oh, I did. It was beautiful music.
It's good. I don't know. And you don't hear music like that. I mean, that should be like the theme to, I don't know, a reality show that's on now.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor should have that sort of theme.
Maths, Married at First Sight.
Such a rousing sort of. That's a good spirit about it. A sense of that's a reassuring. You know what it says? It says everything's going to be okay.
Everything's going to be all right.
In the long run, we're going to go through
a bit of a battle
and
hundreds of people are going to get killed.
But in the long run, as the day dawns again or whatever that saying is, we're going to be okay. And we look at each other and we give each other a wink and go, glad that I'm on your side.
Yeah.
But maybe we should stop talking like that. Anyway.
Have you any ideas of the connection between the Alamo and chewing gum?
Mine, it's just random. I mean, it's really.
I think maybe the Alamo was about chewing gum. I know that chewing gum was, I'm pretty sure it was Mexican. And I reckon there was some disagreement over chewing gum.
Do you reckon chewing gum existed during the Alamo? Or do you reckon it came later?
I reckon it was around. So, I reckon wasn't it Chiclets? I remember in Mexico, chewing gum was big, and they were claiming chewing gum as their own.
Because am I right in saying it's like rubber?
Yeah. Well, the original chewing gum was rubber. Yeah, from trees.
I'm going to say that it was that there was some sort of rubber tree plantation.
Oh, they're protecting it.
Or yeah, they used it, or they brought rubber in to fight in the, I'm going to say they used the rubber that was turned into chewing gum as rubber, not as chewing gum.
Okay, shall we get the answer?
The Mexican statesman, dictator and general Antonio López de Santa Anna led his forces into battle against the Texans at the Alamo in 1936. He won the brutal battle where San Antonio, Texas is today, but lost the Texan Revolution only months later. In the years after leaving office, you travel to New York with a case of tickle, a rubbery substance that's now the base for chewing gum. He tried to sell it as a foundation for buggy tires, but didn't get anywhere with it. Santa Anna went into business with inventor Thomas Adams in New York to try and vulcanize the gum. Instead, Adams added flavoring to the chicle, creating chiclets. Had Santa Anna the Merciless later at the Alamo never imported tickled, the chewing gum industry might never have been created.
So the Mexicans were chewing on it.
Yeah.
Going, this is all right. Just going doing doing. Because the Yanks had the chewing tobacco.
Yes, that's true. That's
true. Have you ever had chewing tobacco?
No.
It just makes you spit for a week.
Oh, no thanks.
You produce all this saliva.
Yeah.
And you have this black. I must have an uncle who used to do it. It's just like, ooh, chewing tobacco.
Oof. Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it's not a pleasant.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
What a story, though, to be a politician and a general in a Mexican army and then eventually end up trying to flog chewing gum around America.
But you know why? Because they would have been sitting around after the war going, what do you do with your spare time?
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah.
What do you do?
Oh, I go to the RSL on Mondays.
I've got some cows and stuff, and I do a bit of whittling. What do you do?
Oh, a bit of mercenary work.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of getting into chewing gum.
What? What do you mean chewing gum?
Oh, back in Mexico, we have this great stuff we all chew, and I reckon you Americans would like it.
Why do you call it chewing gum?
Because we chew it.
And it's gum?
Yeah.
Well, what do you make it?
It comes off a tree. Add some flavours.
Can I get you another beer? Because this is a good conversation.
Wow. Well, I'm getting hungry now.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's a mistake that you do make. What? Sometimes when you're really hungry and you've got nothing, you go, well, I'll just have some chewing gum, thinking that it'll... But that just stimulates you.
Yeah, Is that what it does? It makes you even hungrier.
Yeah, because you're stimulating all the mouth's going up and down, so the stomach goes, incoming.
I don't need any help getting stimulated in terms of food.
Isn't chewing gum a cure for something? As in, if you chew gum, or is it? Oh, is it like on the airplane or something?
Yeah, for your ears. Yeah, for your ears because of the pressure.
Gum. Yeah.
Yes, and nausea too. It can be sometimes good for nausea. Yeah. Weight loss. Chew gum.
No, really?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I just made that up.
Because I remember, don't swallow it because you'll die.
Oh, yeah. When you're a kid, don't swallow the chewing gum.
We should have lesson for the day on this.
Lesson for the day. Don't swallow the gum, kids.
Yeah, because you kids out there don't.
Sticks up your insides, Mum used to say.
Sticks up your insides,
whatever that means.
Yeah, and wait half an hour before you go back in the water.
Yeah, that's a load of crap.
There's a show. Things that were important that now are a load of crap.
Yeah.
There's a book.
That's a book.